be unto you. Dear beloved, welcome to another episode of We Are Vessels podcast, where we talk about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the scripture. Remember, all three are one, right? I am super excited to be here, and it is an awesome opportunity to be able to share the word of God with you. But before I do so, would you kindly join me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for your word, which is light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Father, thank you because you would make your word known. Thank you because you would bring a clear understanding of your word to us today. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for all you are. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for this minute. Thank you for the second. Thank you for this minutes that we'll be using together in your presence. And thank you because you would continue to make yourself known to us through your word, and that you will continue to give us peace that surpasses all understanding, and that you would give us strength to do the things that you've called us to do here on earth. And thank you for your presence here with me today. And thank you because you would speak your word through me to a clear and better understanding of your children and I that you are speaking through. Thank you for who you are again. In Jesus' name, amen. About a few months ago, I started on an episode entitled Stubbornness, Impatience, and Disobedience. But today I would like to add on to that, and what I'd like to add to it is unforgiveness. So today's topic is entitled Stubbornness, Impatience, Disobedience, and Unforgiveness. And as mouthful as this sound, I feel like you and I can relate with at least one or two of this attribute that humans tend to have. It is in our nature to be sometimes stubborn, to be oftentimes disobedient, to be impatient, and to be unforgiving if we choose to. However, while this might be a part of our nature, these are things that we also have power over. These are things that God can help us overcome. These are things that we can live life without engaging in. Is this really possible? Yes, it is possible with the help of the Lord. But before I go any farther, I would like to give three examples from the scripture that shows that indeed any of this can cause us to miss what God has in store for us. It can cause us to simply lose all that God is destined for us to have. There are a few stories in the Bible that I would like us to look at together to help us fully understand how detrimental all of these can be to us as a human and as a follower of Christ. The first story I'd like to look at is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, reading from verse 10 through 13, which reads, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I command them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why Israel cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction.'" First off, I'd like to say that may you and I not be devoted to destruction in Jesus' name. So here in the book of Joshua is this guy named Achan. Achan is an Israelite, is a part of the team that is led by Joshua to go conquer Jericho in order to make the children of Israel free. So this, in other words, is a fight for freedom. And to get to freedom is to be obedient to the things that God has said. God is always there to support the children of Israel, no matter what. But the children of Israel just kept sinning, kept disobeying, kept doing the things they felt were the right things to do, even though God told them not to do those things. So here is Achan. He went ahead and stole from the things that God told him not to steal from. And because he disobeyed God, because he took bad things that God told him not to take from those they were fighting, which were the people of Ai, he caused 36 people among the Israelites to be killed. This wasn't the plan of God for the people of Israel. And Joshua, being the leader, felt and knew in his spirit that this wasn't right. God is with us. Why would we be killed? Why would any of this men be killed? So Joshua went to God in prayers. And he went to God facing down, and God told him, indeed, somebody amongst you had done something wrong, had stolen, had taken back what I told them not to take. And for that reason, Israel is subject to destruction. So God is saying, unless this person is found out, unless the person that had done wrong is plucked out amongst the children of Israel, then the children of Israel will be liable. They will be vulnerable to attack. And here is Joshua. Joshua stood up. The God told him, he stood up and then went on the quest to try to figure out who the culprit is. The Bible says in verse 22 of Joshua 7, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua, and all the Israelites spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan, they heaped a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place had been called the Valley of Achor ever since. You know, the sad part about this story is that not only was Achan punished for what he had done, he dragged his family into this punishment. He dragged his wife, his children, even his animals, everything that he had spent his life putting together got destroyed with them. He didn't get to live a good life. He didn't get to live a long life. And he robbed his children and wife from living that too because of what he had done, because of his disobedience, because of his stubbornness, because of his impatience. God is capable of providing the children of Israel with anything. That includes everything that he was coveting at the time. Only if he had waited, only if he had waited until the end of the battle. Only if. Because I believe that there is a lot of good things at the end of it. But he wasn't there to even see the battle begin, let alone see them win, or let alone enjoy the victory. Stubbornness, disobedience, impatience, unforgiveness can reap us of what God has in store for us. It can steal our life away from us. It can steal the things that we've spent our life putting together. It can rob those things away from us. So I pray that none of the things that you've worked for will be taken away from you because of your disobedience, in Jesus' name. None of it will be taken away from you because of your stubbornness. Neither will it be taken away from you because of your impatience or your unforgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So the second story I'm looking at is the story of Samson. Samson, like we all know, is a very powerful human being. That the way God used him is just mind-blowing. The amount or the, you know, the impressiveness of his strength is just, it's just amazing. Like, it is impressively strong. Samson can do anything with his hands. And as much as God has poured the spirit on this person was foolish. He was disobedient. And because of his disobedience, because of his foolishness, he ended up dying so quickly. His death was, it was the least you would think of for a person of his caliber. For a person that has that much strength that he had possessed. So Samson's disobedience began when he refused, or when he refused the voice of God as to not marry somebody he was not supposed to marry. And who is that? Let's look in the scripture. Judges 16 verse 1 says, one day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. That's one. He went in to spend the night with her. That's two. The people of Gaza were told, Samson is here. So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, at dawn, we will kill him. That's three. Here we see that not only did Samson go out of his way to hang out with people that the Lord has told him not to hang out with, he got all lovey-dovey with prostitutes. And to make matters worse, he went in with her. And because he went in with her, because he wasn't thinking straight, he wasn't doing the right thing, he became a prey to his enemies. He became to those who were ready to kill him anyway. And now because he was there laying with this prostitute, those people who do not like him to begin with were ready to just kill him. But they were waiting for the right time to do this. They were waiting for the right time to go attack the strong man. I mean, the strong man that everybody is scared of. Because they all know how powerful Samson is. And that's because of how powerful the God that is in him is. And it seemed like Samson did not know that, because it seemed not to have cherished power, this ability, and this God that is in him. I'm not too sure what's going on in Samson's mind, but to at least based on what the scripture says about him, he can easily find an amazing woman to get married to. Because I'm sure there will be a bunch of women that want a man like him. But then maybe that got into his head too, that he felt like he could, you know, just enjoy and have a good time with any lady that he wanted to? Maybe. But what's my point here? Samson, like we all know because of what the scripture says, is a powerful man. And his power lies in his hair, in his ability to keep his hair growing. He does not have to cut it. And why would anybody say this to somebody you're not married to? But sincerely, Samson did get carried away. He became disobedient, and on top of that, he was foolish enough to tell a woman that he had barely met what the source of his strength is. Although God himself is the real source of his strength, Samson told this lady, and this lady, because of her, you know, deceitfulness, went and gave this information to Samson's enemies. And the enemies then came and used that against Samson. This really to me is a sad story. And I just pray that you and I will not encounter a person like Delilah. And if you have any Delilah in your life, if I have any Delilah in my life, that the Lord in his power will separate us in Jesus' name. Will separate us from such a person. Or from such people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading on here in chapter 16, verse 18. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent words to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on a lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. May your strength never leave you in Jesus' name. May my strength never leave me in Jesus' name. And we know the rest of the story. And everything after then was just disastrous. Truly, Samson ended up conquering his enemies. But at the end of the day, his enemies conquered him too, because it did not make it out of that incident alive. Because that's where Samson lost his life. And that was the last time we heard anything about Samson, because he died during that incident. And in this story here again, we can see that truly stubbornness, disobedience, impatience, and even unforgiveness can lead us to losing our life. And that might be physically, and that might be spiritually, and that might be anything we can think of it. The reality that any of this can make us lose what's precious to us still stands.